And just like that, we are back. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. And we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Love is Blind Season 3 Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment, and a review.
And this is going to be episodes 8, 9, and 10 that if we were doing Married at First Sight, I'm just going to point this out because I know you'd like to point it out. This would probably be week 17 that we're finally getting here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this it just flows so much better.
Mm-hmm.
You got 1 hour, none of the commercials.
Right.
And
very important.
Yeah, you know, we've already had one wedding done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
one and a half.
Potentially almost another one. Yeah. So I'm just like, this is how it should be, Married at First Sight. So I'm dragging the crap out.
Yeah, because, you know, here we are. Technically, we're 3 weeks into this show, 10 episodes in. But you know what? We're right on pace because Married at First Sight would have been through one and a half weddings at this point, too. So you know what? You do like it.
Whatever. Trash. But still, I think Netflix does it right. They get mm-hmm. to the point. So I'm digging it. And it's been an interesting 3 episodes.
Indeed. You know, let's go ahead and kick it off with Colleen and Matt. You know, here's the one thing I noticed first is that I'm glad that Colleen has grown some balls and told Matt about himself and that he can actually lose her. You know, I'm glad she said those things to him. But she needs to run. Just pack up or run. Because I don't know if you see this, but when I see Matt and his behavior, it's red flags everywhere. And Matt is either abusive or abusive adjacent. Neither is good.
Yeah.
Neither is
good. Yeah, same thing I put. I said Matt has a temper.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have a bad vibe about him.
Yes.
You know, and then even when they were having dinner with his friends were like, oh, we know you. You yell.
Yeah. They're like, we don't want to hear your side. We want to hear her side.
Yeah, that's not a positive trait, but it's almost like he's trying to cover up mm-hmm. that behavior, you know, when they're around people.
Right.
So it's just the dude is a trip. But then, you know, she keeps mentioning the ups and downs all the time.
Right.
And that's what leads me to be like, oh, I think Colleen is kind of on the plan to leave this deal.
Okay, which is a big difference from, remember that first night, but that first blow up they had in Malibu, and she was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get him back, even if it means going against my, and I think she woke up somewhere between Malibu, and here we are, episode 8, she finally wakes up some. The thing I did notice about Matt's friends, right, like, it feels like, because even in what you said, like, they're like, oh yeah, we know what you do, you yell. But it feels like they're accepting it, right? They know he has a temper, but they're still accepting of it and just going, oh, well, that's just Matt. Oh, that's just Terrell. No, because here's the thing, and the difference between our friendship and what I think I see with theirs is that you would be, yo, dude, like, seriously, you're going to have to get a hold of that at some point. And we've had, you and I have had conversations like this on different things. It's like, hey, we got to do this in a different manner because this can't be what we do. They need to really have a real conversation with him.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to relate to that because I've never been in a relationship
mm-hmm.
where we would blow up at each other like that.
Right.
And for Matt to blow up to the levels that he blows up when he gets really pissed is ridiculous. I think Colleen realized it after them all going to the club because I think it's when he's drinking.
Yeah.
I think it's when he's drinking because he doesn't remember them FaceTiming him and her saying, hey, well, we're going to have a girls' night. We're going here. He just got all pissed when he saw a club in the background.
When she explained what happened, I was like, wow. Because it was all the girls, all the guys. They were supposed to meet at the same place. The guys decided, nope, we're going back to the apartment. They said, all right, girls' night. Which is weird, though, because Nancy was back at the apartment, remember? At the end of episode 7. So maybe Nancy just didn't go with them because she had some stuff to sort out with Bartice. But you can't be mad at your woman going out on a girl's night unless you know she's a wild child. And that's the problem. He's got this PTSD from his previous relationship.
Yeah, he totally does. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that when we talk about the bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a cool dinner spot that they took her to in the aquarium, whatever it was. I thought that was actually pretty dope. But then when Colleen, when he asked Colleen, do you think love is enough?
Oh, Jesus.
She said, yes. I'm just like, okay, I've not been married, and I know love is not enough to sustain a marriage or a relationship. There's a lot of divorced people who loved each other. You know, so it has to be more to it than that. But I think you see the look in Matt's eyes when he's starting to realize, hey, she might be out.
Well, she said yes because of what you saw right after that. When, well, just say how you feel. She's already told you how she feels. She said, I love you. But this moment right here is the reason why she should say no. That moment in the aquarium when he just tried to pressure her to give an answer that he wanted. And it's like, yo, dude, dial it back 400 notches. Because I know you got PTSD from your ex-wife cheating on you. But you can't carry that along. He needs therapy. You know, we need to put him on Married at First Sight San Diego so he can meet Ben, so that he can get in touch with his feelings and understand that I've got to work on myself.
He's got a lot of work to do on himself before he's to date anybody. Because it's just too raw. Anytime he brings up that past relationship, the anger, you can see it.
You know what? It's because I thought it felt weird watching him meet her parents and how nice her parents were. You know, because they see him, he puts on a front, right? And you mentioned that already, that he puts on a front. What are they going to think when they see the show and they see all his blow-ups? Because remember, all this has happened, nothing shown. So they don't, when they get to the wedding, they haven't seen it. I can only imagine what they think when they see him. That, oh, he's a nice guy. Oh, he's cute. All that out the window.
Yeah. That would be interesting to find out. You know, I think that would be hard for me if I had a child that was going through this. Yeah. And then I see the result and then I watch the show and I'm like, you did what? You know,
after that, you do it again.
Yeah. That would be tough to do. But I was wondering, like, what Matt was thinking when he saw the parents. You know, you think, is this the future? Is this what I have to look forward to?
Stop it. As we move on to Nancy and Bartiz. You know, last week, And our second recap of four, someone said that Bartiz ambushed Nancy with his family by bringing up the abortion conversation. And you know what? I kind of got to agree because it was unfair to do that in the first meeting, knowing that this is the first impression they're going to have of her. And you know how first impressions are lasting impressions, right? And then I started thinking about it and I was like, maybe it's part of his exit strategy. Because, and as I'm starting to watch this episode, I'm like, that just popped right up. As they popped up on screen, that came right in my mind. As he's trying to be a little nicer, I'm like, you know what? But that's his exit strategy. Because he goes, well, if my family doesn't approve, then you know I can't do this.
Well, what I thought was interesting about their conversation was the ex being involved in her real estate business and the whole abortion thing. He was trying to use that as his reason for not sleeping with her and not being affectionate. And all that. I'm just like, just the night before, in episode 7, you said, looks matter. Let's just be honest about it. And yes, you think looks matter. And you're just not as attracted to Nancy. And you're struggling with, am I an asshole? Because this person that I love and I really care about, I'm just not into her physically. And we've been there. I've been there. I've been in that situation where, like, this person is dope. But I am just not all that into them physically. And for Bartiz, a person who's, you know, into, you know, potentially professional bodybuilding and all that stuff, I mean, looks matter because that's what he's so focused on.
Right.
And so, which is why he was so hung up on Raven. So I'm like, eh.
But okay, but here's the thing about it. The thing that you didn't do and is something that he is doing, like, because he is a liar, man. He's like, oh, you know, I'm so tired from work. I'm not going to come home and jump your bones. And I've got all this other stuff on my mind. So, you know, I just don't have the energy. If Raven was in his house, he would find that energy. So he's a damn liar. He would come through the door.
Take some pre-workout. Give me 30 minutes.
His vitamins would be that blue pill. He would come in fighting that energy to make it work because, you know, that's what he's physically attracted to. But, you know, notice this. They went and Bartiz's sister was there. She said, look at you. You don't care about looks. Look at the way you're dressed right now.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I laughed at
that. I love how you're dressed.
It's like, you're not that superficial guy. And I'm like, yes, he is. Yes, that's a superficial guy.
He is about anybody else, not himself.
Well, yeah. He doesn't care about looks or about a good barber, for what it seems like. I'm sorry. But did you watch them dancing? I'm like, Bartiz has zero rhythm.
Well, you know. You know.
That's
you know.
Yeah, no rhythm. Just watching him salsa. I was like, what are you doing? I'm like, what? Why are you so stiff when you do it? Like, loosen up. He's just.
The ants go marching one by one. Hoorah. I got to give kudos to Nancy, though, and through all of this. Because, I mean, you know, Bartiz has put it through hell since they came out of the pods, right? I don't know if I could get over this whole I'm not physically attracted to you thing, right? I mean, Nancy is looking past it, right? So kudos to her for right. that. I don't know how, if I could do that, get past it. Because there'd always be that side eye, that question, something to go, you know what? I don't need to be here. But Nancy is hanging in there strong. Even though every time he's talking, the look she gives him is like, silly boy, you have no idea what you're talking about. Wait till you grow up. And or like, wait till we get to the altar. Wait till you hear what I have to say.
Yeah.
That's what I see in her eyes when she's looking at him. But then any other interaction they have, she's all lovey-dovey and, oh, I'm just so happy to be here with you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that attraction piece is huge. And I don't even think it's about type. You know, I've dated tall, big, small, fit, and everything in between. Right? It's just, if I'm attracted to you, I'm attracted to you regardless of what you look like. You know, everything, average, whatever. You know, different races, all these different things. But I don't know if I could deal if somebody wasn't attracted to me or didn't make me feel like they thought I was hot shit. Because that's all I really want. I want you to feel... I know there's better looking guys in the world.
Right.
But I want you to make me feel like in the moments we're together, I'm the shit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to do the same for you. But there's always going to be somebody that looks better than what you have.
Right.
That's what always will be. But the way you make that person feel and the fact that he made her feel rejected in that way, it would be hard. Be hard for a guy, I think, to overcome that.
Oh, yeah. If the roles were reversed. And she was like, oh, my God, SK, or even, oh, my God, Cole. If she did any of that with any of the other guys, he wouldn't be able to get past it. And that is the craziest part of it.
Yeah, she's like, Andrew, he's a smoke show.
Yes.
Then he'd be like, what, Andrew?
Yeah, because remember, the minute she just had a conversation with Andrew, his jealousy kicked in tenfold. I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. But, you know, I think I'm still trying to read him because I've always felt Bartiz comes across like a used car salesman.
Yeah.
And so I'm just trying to read him and figure him out.
What'd you think of the permanent bracelets?
I thought it was cute, but nothing's permanent.
Yeah. Oh, it's welded on. Those things are thin. Pop it. You can pop it with your finger.
Done.
It's like those bands they put on your hand at the club so you can't take it off and give to somebody else. But when you get home, what do?
Yeah. You can take the ring off, but this is permanent. I'm like, sure, it's permanent. Yeah.
No, it's permanent in the fact that if you take it off, you can't put it back on. That's the only permanent thing about it. It's permanently off your hand once you take it off.
Yeah, they weld it on, so it's not coming off. I'm like, okay, sure, it's not coming off.
I'm like, what did it do, weld it to your bone? Jesus Christ.
I thought that was a cute date idea.
It was.
Yeah, I thought that was nice.
Would you steal that one?
No, because I don't like wearing bracelets. You know, I'm just a watch and a ring. That's it. I don't want necklaces or any of that kind of thing. So, no, I wouldn't do that.
I couldn't do it either because my wife was like, yeah, if you wore a bracelet when I met you, we would have never dated. I was like, damn. Really? A bracelet?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, some guys like bracelets. Mm. Some don't. Mm-hmm. I just don't like wearing bracelets. I've even tried, like, remember the WWJD bracelets and the Livestrong bracelets
like
and all
this.
That?
No excuses. Yeah. I wear these all the time.
I used to try to wear those. I just stopped. I just don't really like doing them. Mm. And I don't want to do the whole bedazzled, you know, bracelets and beads and all that kind of stuff. It's just not my thing.
Don't do bedazzled. Please don't.
It's just not my thing.
They put you in the same category as Nate.
I wouldn't take that. I would do the date that Matt did with Colleen. I would do that. Dinner in an aquarium.
Yeah, that was actually pretty dope. You know,
unless you're eating fish, then that's kind of weird.
Is that my cousin on your plate?
He's just sitting there looking at him.
Keep looking at me. This could be you next.
Just look at you're next. Tell the waiter, hey, I want that one right there. See that one swimming? Give me that one. And some tartar sauce.
Hey, dope. You know, that's what they used to do at Red Lobster. Which lobster do you, at least they made people feel like that. I want that one. Not knowing they already had lobster cooked back there. Put another one in the microwave. Don't send Johnny back out until tomorrow.
I remember that, going to the lobster tank and just looking and...
Yeah. How you know that's the real one they brought you? But anyway, let's get back to Love is Blind. Raven and SK. You know, it was interesting with Raven describing coming home to dinner, cook, trips to Disneyland. All that stuff she was talking about when he asked her, what was it like going, you know, with his mom and his friend. And as she's describing all that stuff, I wonder if he was thinking like, damn, that would be nice though. Dinner when I get home? Trips to Disneyland? Maybe I am with the wrong woman.
Well, I made the note. You know, she's not Nigerian, so don't try to turn her into one.
Exactly.
Don't tell her, here's what you need to do as a wife.
Right.
Because that's what y'all do in your group. That's not fair to her. And none of that stuff is stuff that Raven wants to do.
Right.
I mean, that's just, it's obvious. That's not her path. She has a path. She wants a career. Mm-hmm. She's not going to sit there and make sure there's soup and whatever stuff in the refrigerator every day. Mm-hmm. You know, the number one thing you do is you got to make sure there's food available. She's just like, bitch, what?
We got Uber Eats.
And she goes, do you do that? She goes, yes, I do that. Yeah, she's not doing any of that.
No, we got DoorDash. It's easy. Okay, I will agree with you on this, because usually, especially 90 Day Fiancé, the thing I always hated was when they would, you know, you have these American women that go and get these African men and go, I'm not doing any of that shit, right? You went to find this man, you got to have to do some of it, because there's got to be some compromise in marriage. You just can't go, well, I'm American, I'm not doing that. So same thing here. She's not Nigerian, so she shouldn't have to conform to everything. You know, there's got to be some sort of compromise. And she was making a lot of compromises even for the wedding. And it felt like, and I felt her when she was like, what else do they want from me? What more do you want from me? My family's not going to be there. Is that, what else do you want? Because she's given up to everything else except the dress. Because she's like, no. I'm wearing a wedding dress. I'm not wearing the traditional Nigerian garb. And I don't blame her. It's supposed to be a blending of the cultures. We're doing the music. We're doing the DJ. We're doing him wearing his traditional outfit.
I disagree with you a little bit. Because I don't think just because you're marrying someone from another culture that you have to embrace their culture. You can totally say, hey, that's y'all's thing. Great. And you don't have to say anything else about it. You don't have to participate in it.
You know, yeah, you would say
it's
that.
It's nice of you to do that, but you don't have to just because you're marrying someone of that other culture. But I think they were putting a whole lot of their culture norms on an American woman who has not done any of those things. So that's a huge difference. That's totally different than, you know, switching, you know, religions or something like that. You're telling me, this is what they told her. You need to humble yourself.
Yeah.
You have to watch how you carry yourself out in public.
That goes beyond culture. Let's be real. That goes beyond culture. Well, any woman that's married to you is going to have to carry herself a certain way, right or wrong.
Yes, but what they said is you have to humble yourself to the man, and you should respect each other,
right,
and love each other, and respect. But I don't think them telling her, here's how you need to act out in public when SK is not around, Because you got to trust that she already knows how to do that.
Right.
You know, and so it's the way it came out, I thought was just a little judgy.
It was.
And it's not the lifestyle that Raven wants for herself. She's mm-hmm. not trying to be Susie Homemaker.
Right. That is very true. I give you that. But at the same time, I do still think it is about, and she did do that. She did give, try to blend both. And she gave some. And I expected you to say that, no, you don't have to. It's nice. You can just acknowledge it.
Yeah, you don't have to.
It's compromise.
No, you can. Yes, you can compromise. I'm saying you don't have to. You should, but you don't have to.
Terrell says, the only two things I have to do in life, breathe or die. If I don't do one, the other's going to come naturally.
No, I'm like Morgan Freeman and Lean on Me. Only thing I got to do is stay black and die. Well, I don't have to do anything
You don't have
else.
To stay black. I mean, Michael Jackson, Vibes Cartel, everybody else is bleaching.
No, I don't think I look good bleached. I think I'm good the way I am. But Raven, she looked really nice in that wedding dress. And the wedding dress had mesh.
Oh, now you recognize mesh, huh? here's a funny thing, though. I mean, because, you know, since I don't know much about American culture, apparently American culture is titties. Titties out. That is the American culture. Show your titties. I was like, what? We gotta have part of her American culture in this. We gotta, yes, let's cut the cleavage down even further, show more titties.
You know, I think when you, I applaud her confidence mm-hmm. in how she feels about her body and how she looks, mm-hmm. and she works hard to get it that way and she wants to show it. Do you. It's your day. Just don't get mad if I look. You can't be like, my eyes are up here. I'm like, yeah, but your titties are right there.
And your split is all the way down there.
Yeah, and your split goes all the way down, too. So.
I'm just embracing your culture. Pardon me for being one to try to be, you know, multicultural and embrace your culture here.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do with that. You dress that way. It's hard for me not to look at that right in front of me. Sorry.
When they went on that date, aren't you glad that Raven knew what a gondola was? Instead of a gondola?
Oh, that was Married at First Sight, right?
Yes.
I thought that date was nice. She annoyed me with that bone apple teeth. I'm like, did you just really say bone apple teeth?
No, I think she did that on purpose, though.
I know, but I was just like, God, that's just so stupid.
And then when he didn't laugh the first time, she said it again to make sure.
She tried to explain it, you know, because it's bone apple teeth. He's just like, I'm definitely going to say no tomorrow.
Well, if that didn't do it, I think when she put the napkin and when she took the napkin and folded it in her dress like this, he was probably like, the hell? And, you know, here's the funny thing. We see people do it on TV and think it's a joke, right? I'm at Jeezy's second annual Snowball, and I swear to you, I look across a couple tables away, and a brother picks up his napkin, and he's wearing a tux now. Tucks it in the top of the tux like Raven did with hers. That would have been, that's like chewing food. Like, what are you doing?
Not everybody was raised with, educated on, like, etiquette and class. Not everybody was raised that way. Oh, I still think it was dumb. I'm just saying that.
I'm about to say, you wouldn't sit there and not say something about it.
Oh, I would be like, why are you doing that?
Like, you can fool everybody else. I know you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be like, wait, why are you doing that? Are you doing this out in public with everybody around?
Yeah, give me that ring back. Well, we ain't even gotta fake this wedding. Just give me that ring back. Give me that ring back right now. I'm done filming.
Take that napkin down. Now, bone apple teeth. Put that napkin down.
Hey, take your bone apple teeth and give me that ring back. Yo, as we move on to Zenob and Cole, what did you think of Cole's apology?
I thought the apology was nice. Mm-hmm. You know, I even put on there, nice apology. And I think as long as Colleen isn't around, Cole's a good guy. But it seemed like throughout this three episodes, mm-hmm. he was overcompensating, constantly complimenting her mm-hmm. and all that stuff, trying to make her feel good. But he was following the rule book. Yeah, as soon as you make someone not feel attractive, you got to constantly, you know, you're pretty. Look how good you look. You look great in that dress.
Right.
You look so beautiful. He has to keep saying it over and over, which is exhausting, I would think. But
Exhausting, but do you think that she was, at some point, she was like, okay, all right, geez. Or that she just needs that kind of reassurance that she's like, this is exactly what I wanted.
I think she just needs that kind of assurance, you know, is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And just based on some of the other things that she said in previous episodes, I just think she needs to hear that and feel attractive and wanted.
What did he have against sharing a spoon with her, though? That was kind of weird.
I think that was just something playful. I don't think that was like a real, no, I'm not going to touch that spoon. You know, you can't.
Put it in
that
your
spoon
mouth.
Goes in my mouth. I'm not going to take the spoon that you put in your mouth. That's gross. I'll tongue you down and kiss you, but God forbid your spoon that you've used goes in my mouth. Not going to happen.
Yo, I will say, if that was playful, great. I think the better playful part was the whole lock thing. When the lock concept, you know, it's nice and fun and playful. He's doing it with her. And then she's like, now be careful. Don't drop. Oh, it. He played that well.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was funny, too. And I want to go to Dallas and see if that lock is still there. Just want a road trip and go find it. Get some lock cutters. Be like. Click. Take that video, post it to their Instagram. Click. But so let's talk about Zeynep and her control issues. She comes home, Cole is making dinner. And you gotta cook for me, da da da. Then she just wants to start doing everything. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Now, I like that she called out with enough seasoning on the food.
I'm about to say, now, come on. This is some very white, unseasoned chicken. you would have been like, hold up. There's some seasoning all up here. There's some lemon pepper seasoning right here. What's going on?
But I think if you're gonna have somebody cook for you, do something for you, your job is to not judge or question how they're doing it. Just sit there and have drinks with them while they're cooking and entertain. Because it would piss me off if I'm trying to cook for you and you're like, no, why are you doing this? No, what you need to do is, no, back up. I've cooked this before. It's not my first time. I'm not a child.
Did anybody else eat it? Because are they still alive? Because this unseasoned chicken is not healthy for anybody.
It might not be delicious, but, and I've even had people cook for me where I'm like, this is terrible. But I'm not going to like... I'm not going to like make them feel bad for the effort that they're trying to put in.
Like, oh, I'm really not that hungry. Got a sharp pain in my stomach.
No, yeah, no, but she was just annoying.
She was. And I could understand how she would get on Cole's nerves. Beautiful woman, really likes the conversation, but those little things, I can see how that is working on him, where he's just like, yo, can I just do something right once? Like,
yeah.
I like when you're happy and nice, but this other part, not so much. And like you said, he'd been really going above and beyond and overboard, especially with the compliments, because he made her feel a kind of way in his conversations about Colleen. But still, she was a little bit much.
Yeah, she was. And let's just be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Cole is a little immature.
He is.
Yeah, he's just looking for somebody to be a little bit more playful. But I think that he's been bottling up all the time that she's done that to where when she finally went off on the chicken and whatever, that's when he was just like, okay. And he just kind of blew up about it. So that argument they had, I thought was crazy, but I think the cooking thing, that was the last straw. Mm-hmm. But when he would say, I want someone to be sweet, and she's like, look, if you want that, you can go find it. You want someone who's going to be like that with you. And I was just like, damn, where'd this person come from? And then he was like, are you bipolar? I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Even I know. I have a mouth. Even I know. I would not say that.
Oh, well, he did
not
that.
Someone in their face. Because if she is bipolar and crazy, she's going to kill you.
And that was him just not having a filter. But, you know, and you know why he did it. Because he's like, I just want someone to be sweet. She's like, well, go find it. You know, be mean like that. And like, this is me. Take me as I am or step on, right? I could feel where he felt the way about it. But at the same time, she says she doesn't like Brussels sprouts. I don't really like Brussels sprouts. Well, you like these. No, I won't. And I'm not eating this bland-ass chicken you cook, so yes, I'm going to throw some seasoning on it. And if that's me being mean, then goddammit, I'm mean. So I feel her on that part. And here's what she said, though. And it's very important what she said before he called her bipolar, right? She said, marriage is hard work. You just have to pick the person you're happy to do the hard work with. She said she can do that and wants to do that with him. That... Mm-hmm. That right there is a line. Now, I don't know if she read it somewhere or not, but that was an amazing line. And it really describes marriage because everybody tells you it's work.
True. But I just think the way she handled the whole cooking thing was a problem. And the way that she talks to him during that part is a problem. Like, she talks to him like he's a child. Now, true. She's 31. He's 26. Mm-hmm. And he acts like he's 20. You know,
right.
He acts pretty frat-tastic, like a college frat boy. I think the Nerf thing was just being silly and being able to have some fun. And he was like, wanting someone he could be silly and playful with. She doesn't come across the way, but I love how she said that, I'm the catch of the century. He said, yeah, but not when you have an attitude.
I was like, Terrell, is that you?
Never would I call myself the catch of the century for anybody. You know, and do I have my moments of attitude? I'm a Scorpio. That's just how we are made. So people got to deal with that. But her thing with him was just a bit much.
I do like
how he chased her out when she tried to walk away and leave, because I don't like people that just walk away from arguments.
Yeah. And he went after her. They sat down. But even still, in that moment, and she wanted him to chase after her, right? And then because she's like, well, if I didn't want to stay, I wouldn't be here. I'm like... Now, why'd you even walk out? I mean, I know it's a moment. You're upset. But stop. Why we got to play? She's playing games, too. Let's be honest. But as childish as he is, and as much as he's been trying, one of the things he was going to try to, because, you know, again, he's this really bubbly personality. He would have chosen a very colorful tux. She told him black or navy blue. That's it. And he goes, you know what? She's got a lot going on. A lot that's going to be missing. Her parents are not going to be there. Her sister's not going to be able to make it. I'm going to do this for her and stick to black or navy blue. I give him props for that because it's going, and while it seems like something minor and it's something that I would have done, either black or navy blue, just on my own, I give him props for it because it's like understanding what she's going through and saying, I need to do this so she feels good on this day.
And respect that. I respect that of him, because I know that it has to be tough for her, right? And I'm glad that her stepmom has been there. But I'm glad he didn't pick that jacket, though. I thought that was a bit ugly. Like, that's not for a wedding. Like, if you're an MC of an event, that would have been perfect outfit. But to come down the aisle for your wedding with that jacket?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless
you're performing. You performer.
No. And that's why she gave him two choices, black or navy blue. She knows what she was doing. As we move on to Alexa and Brennan, Alexa's friends are a bit much, man, acting like, oh yeah, well, you know, the weekend starts on Thursdays for us. I hope he's not gonna try and keep you. What? Hold up, stop. That is not how this works.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a funny thing to see Alexa in her element, because she always seemed like she was more mature than everybody else. And she's kind of better than everybody else. Now, when I saw her with her friends, I was like, oh, she's so immature around her friends. And I was like, wait a minute, actually, her friends are just annoying.
They are.
Yeah, they are just annoying. A bit much just over talking. I'm sure Brennan was like, okay, I'm not worried about it, guys. Like, I'm marrying her. Like, I'm good with all this stuff, you know, but like everyone, are you sure? Are you sure you're good? I'm like, it's just dumb questions to ask.
Yeah. It felt like they were going to be like, you know, have you smelled her farts yet? She's nasty as shit. Cause they just kept asking, like you said, are you sure? Are you sure? Like, yo, at some point I would have stopped answering questions. I'm like, are you sure? Are y'all even really her friends? I mean, cause you're really acting as if, you know, like she's the bad choice. She's the catch. And he said that. So,
yeah, their matchup is. I have some more thoughts about them, but looks like Brennan's trying to go all in on the Jewish theme for the wedding. I thought that was nice.
Yeah.
And they seem like the real deal of a couple, but seem.
You know, I want to know how this love story ends, because when they said that, how does this love story end? You notice how nervous that laugh was after Brennan said, a gruesome murder? He said that and Alexa was like, huh? Wait a minute, when did that become a joke? I think that's the first time she had a second thought. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
He does come from a farm. I wonder how many bodies are out there.
Possible. It's possible. But these, now the bachelor parties, bachelor mm-hmm. and bachelorette parties.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of those?
Well, let's start with the bachelorette party, right? Okay. You know, ladies first, obviously, right? The guys walk out with the bow ties and whatever the hell else they were wearing, and Raven's jaw hit the floor. Like, first thing I thought was, maybe her friends do know her better and that she doesn't know how to be faithful. Because she was like, ah.
Well, the first thing I noticed was Zinub's dress. Mm-hmm. Her outfit, when she got to things, she was looking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the outfit that she had when they got to the bachelorette deal. But I was like, okay, they're going to have some drinks and hang out by the pool. And then I guess they're going to a strip club, which I'm like, ugh, I know this is going to be messy because women at strip clubs are the
yep.
worst. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, this is going to be messy. So let's see what happens. But the conversations they were having with each other.
Yes.
Were hilarious.
Yo, because the whole thing came up with, who was it? Cole and Zinub, right? And when Zinub said that Cole's family refused to meet her, mm-hmm. talk to her, even see her on FaceTime, even just have a conversation over the phone, nothing until they're married. And I think either they said it and they edited it out, or they were all dancing around what they wanted to say about Cole's family, because it seems like he comes from a Trumplican family.
Yeah. That's what I was waiting to say. I'm like, are we going to say ethnic background? Are we going to say what? Like, what is? I was waiting to hear it,
mm-hmm.
and it never happened. But they follow her on Instagram.
Yeah.
So they're seeing her,
mm-hmm.
but they don't want to talk with her, which is weird. So that's where I lean. I'm like, is this more of a race issue?
Obviously, because they know what she looks like. And if I'm her, I'd block every last one of them. There's, you don't want to talk. Click, 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 click. You know what? I will unblock you when we speak. Because what we're not going to do is you following and talking about my pictures and you refuse to speak to me. Nah.
Yeah. No, that's just a weird one. I can't wrap my mind around that concept.
No, it's not weird. His family's racist. That's it. He's the one with the open mind. I mean, look, let's call a spade a spade. That family right there is racist.
I don't know that. All I'm saying is,
here you go.
It's just really weird. I don't want to call someone a racist if I don't even know these people. But what about Raven when she was talking about the kissing fish that Yo. SK got her? And then the next day they die. Like, what is that? I believe that's a sign. I'm just like, goodness, girl. Like, you can't look at every single thing as a sign.
Yeah. It sounded like it was going to be a sweet story that everybody knew it was. Even though, like, yeah, I knew it was going to go to that route. The next day they wake up, they're dead. I'm like, girl, okay. If that's the sign, then we got a problem. But, you know, there were a lot of other signs. What I did notice is that Alexa, with some alcohol in her, feisty as hell. Like, she doesn't want anybody talking about her, but she was showing everybody. I get it. Everybody's mad at Cole's family, but to tell Zinub all the stuff she was saying and talk down her fiance, I think was so out of place, so out mm-hmm. of touch, and so uncalled for. Like, who are you? I know you,
right.
you may have more money than everybody sitting at the table, but damn.
Right. But see, that's the difference between men and women. We don't do that.
Right.
We don't get around and be like, you know, your girl, she's a problem. Or whatever. We don't do that. Like, women get together and do that.
Not without evidence.
I was mad that Zena didn't stick up for Cole. It's like, hey, you got to like turn that around. You can't sit there and everybody just start shitting on Cole. Does he have his issues? Yes. But he's not married to Alexa. So Alexa, like, your opinion shouldn't matter. He's not marrying you. And you're trying to tell her, oh, you deserve, you can do so much better than him. So I'm like, that's just messy.
But then Alexa's messy anyway, because remember the first pool party and she's like, well, you know, everybody's coming to me with the tea. We don't have any tea. But yet she spills the tea on Brennan, talking about him trying to jam it in the first night. And it wasn't until she kind of coached him on how to have sex with her that, oh, everything was good after that. But you're throwing your business out there for everybody. But now we see she likes to stick her nose in people's business too. Yeah, she likes when people tell her business, but she also likes to stick her nose in there and where it wasn't needed or wanted.
Right, right. Nope, it wasn't. I think Nancy did a good job how she talked about Bartiste.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those things went really well. And I was surprised because it seems like the girls don't really like Raven.
Right.
And I don't think Raven really likes them that much. And so she has to kind of stand out. But
is that why she stood apart at the bachelorette party when they went to the strip club? Because it was weird to me that. And it's only that now that you pointed out, because I remember I said to you before we even started recording, like, why was Raven the adult at the strip club, right? But really, you're right. She was kind of off to herself, her and her girls off to themselves while all the others were together. Even to the point that Nancy's saying that, you know, she's not ready for a stranger with a dick in her face. Immediately after having a stranger with a dick in her face.
I was like, you were just pulling him to your face and telling him, get it. Get it in there. I'm like, okay.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, she was off to the side. She's like, what'd she say? I'm too grown for this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, okay, whatever. Whatever, Raven. You know, but they it seemed like they all had fun.
Mm-hmm.
And who was it? Cole didn't want Zenob to be close. I'm like, okay, why even say anything? Because he's going to watch the show.
Right.
He's going to see
whatever
you did. So who cares? Let your freak flag fly and have some fun with the strippers.
Well, you know Matt is not happy with Colleen even being anywhere where she can see the building that has strippers in it. So he probably thinks she went home with one of them. Hey, they went to the champagne room.
Yeah, he's put it on his head. Wait, they're dancers. She's a dancer. She's going to cheat on me.
Not the same thing, brah. Well, you know, the bachelorette party was a lot spicier than the bachelor party. I mean, we see them first. They go to the rodeo, and SK's me. Hell no. Not going down there for a cattle scramble. You know.
Yeah.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
No. I'm from San Antonio, and I'm not doing that. I'm not going to jump and do that. That's one of the things I'm like, see, white people, y'all can do that. I'm going to stand over here and cheer you on. Like, there's certain things, I'll do a whole lot of stuff. I do a whole lot of stuff that a lot of my black friends don't want to do, but that's something I wouldn't try. I'm not going to chase down a calf. But it looks like they had some fun.
Yeah.
So that's all that matters.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting watching them kind of talk to their friends in this piece too. Like Matt saying he doesn't know why he blows his top. We know he needs therapy, right?
The reason why the whole therapy thing came out when his boy was talking to him, he was like, well, you've had this before. You hadn't seen fell in love with. And he said, and she fucking quit on me and played me. Like, he's just angry still. I'm like, dude, you got to let that go. She played you.
Yeah.
She played you. She cheated on you. She's had a baby. She's moved on with her life. You got to eventually do the same and let that go.
You know, it's funny because I made a note. We need Matt's friend to be an expert on Married at First Sight. He gave great advice. He gave the advice that you or I would have given, like, yeah, move on, dude. It's over. She's never coming back. No need to take it out on everybody else. And he's still stuck.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And quit trying to get all in your head about every single thing, you know, creating these big problems because of your own trust issues. But at least one thing I would say, though, the guys, even though their bachelor party was lame, it seemed like they all had some really good dialogue with their friends or with each other that I thought was very helpful, which a lot of times men, we don't really do that. We're just like, oh, she's done what? Word? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to get a drink. you need anything? Well, and that's as far as the conversation would go, you know?
But that's what, think about it. That's kind of what happened with Bartisto, because he gave his thing, and he again, like we talked about at the top of this, he made it seem, he's the one that put Nancy in the hot seat with his family. But he made it seem like, you know, my family is not happy with her, and hopefully they do get to see and understand why I love her. You're the one that turned them against her in the first place, on purpose.
Well, true. But I think it was still an important conversation that they had to have. Now, in front of her family, bring that conversation back up. Don't think that's a good idea, but yeah, it happened. And maybe their family is just that close where they talk about all kinds of stuff. And so maybe for that family, it's not like taboo to have these type of real conversations with somebody.
Meeting.
Cameras are there, lights on. What do you do?
We got to make something happen. You know, I noticed something else. I noticed something else about Bartiz, but I'll wait till we get to his wedding.
Okay.
Speaking of the weddings, though.
Yeah, I was about to say, speaking of weddings.
Raven and SK. I was sure that they put this episode, this wedding, in this episode because they both said yes. As soon as we got to the wedding, I looked at the time. I'm like, we still got how many more minutes? Oh, okay, yeah. they both said yes. So obviously, this is what it is. We're getting this happy ending on the first wedding of season 3.
See, that's the one thing I don't understand about this show. If SK knew he was going to say no, like, why not? Because I feel bad for all the people that got put up in those outfits and all the different things. Everybody traveled, you know, for this just to say no. Mm-hmm. This is a lot of effort and a lot of work wasted, in my opinion. But I was really thinking that, you know, I know she was going to say yes. You know, and she even said she was
I know she said after that she was planning on saying yes. You thought she was going to say yes?
Yes.
See, I didn't. I didn't think she was going to say yes. I thought she was going to be like, yeah, nah, I can't do it.
No, I thought she was going to say yes, and I thought he was going to say yes. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, she's gorgeous, and so it's not easy for men to turn down beautiful women.
Yeah.
But I thought maybe they're going to try. I didn't think it was going to work, you know, long term. But I thought they still would have said yes.
Right.
You know, through the whole deal, you know, and, you know, the little bonding moment she had with his mom before she came out and all that stuff. I'm just like, this is nice. And their family looks like they're trying to really embrace her.
Yeah.
Into their world. So I was quite shocked. But actually, I'm glad that SK said no, because I think you and I talked about the concerns we had about Raven before.
Yeah.
You know, kind of what her expectations is, her quality of life that she wants to live while he's in school, long distance relationship for 3 years, you know.
You know, okay, two things here, because you brought up the fact that the bonding moment Raven had with SK's mom prior to walking down the aisle, right? Great moment, but I think an even better moment was after, right?
Mm-hmm.
And SK's mom went to go see Raven, and I thought it was such a touching moment because you could see the mom was hurt. She knows Raven is hurting and, you know, just wanted to have that moment. Even Raven's like, yeah, I love that we can do this because there's nobody. And this is the motherly thing. There's nobody there from Raven's family for her. No, even her bridesmaids are still sitting up there at the front. So there's nobody there for Raven. And so SK's mom goes and hugs. I thought that was really touching, really dope. In retrospect, I realized when SK sat with his mom, because she was blindsided, but he literally told her that he was going to say no. Listen to this. He goes, even though I decided to do it this way and go through with this experiment, to do it this way and not to do it the right way. I thought it was just him choosing the wrong words at the time, but he said he wasn't doing it the right way. And when he said it, I was like, he just misspoke. He meant the traditional way, which they ended up saying anyway. But in retrospect, was he telling her like, yeah, no, I ain't going to say yes.
Wow. That's interesting. I didn't even catch that. But back to your point, as soon as, because that has to be embarrassing.
Yes.
Right. And I know that a lot of the people that were sitting there are extras. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they have that many family and friends that came. But for real. But her bridesmaids, they should have got up and walked straight back with her.
Yeah.
Like if that was you at the altar.
Oh, hell yeah.
And you're like, all right, well, I'm going to go now. You know, and well, I'm not going to let you go by yourself.
Regulators.
Yeah.
I'm going to let
you go by yourself. And then I have to start cussing her out on my way out. Be like, turning by the shoulders, looking back. You bitch.
So I ain't even want you no way.
Yeah. Glad this didn't work out.
I was going to say no too. Yeah. You lucky to ask you first.
This is why you should eat with silverware instead of eating with your hands.
I ain't want no woman that did this at dinner anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, I thought her bridesmaids should have got him and walked out with her.
Yeah.
They should have. That moment. And I'm assuming the producers are just like, nope, hold on. Stay.
Don't you move.
Stay.
Don't you move.
Yeah. We're filming.
And you notice, because what happened to that same one that talked all that trash that said, if he says no,
right,
we're going to have to help you hide the body. You're going to have to help me hide the body. That's the same one that said that Raven didn't know how to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to all that? See, all that talk. All that talk and no action.
Yep.
Well, exactly. You know, I thought we were only going to get one wedding. We got another half of a wedding. Nancy and Bartice, when one of the first things I noticed, right, with these two, when they're arriving for the wedding, I forgave Raven for jumping in the bed with her shoes on after SK said no. Because remember when, you know, she got in the bed, she's like, she crawled up in the bed and cried. She had her shoes on still. I mean, she was distraught and, you know, they're not staying there that night, right? Definitely not. They're gone. Nancy gets there. And as soon as she gets there, crawls her ass in the bed and puts her shoes squarely on the bed. What?
You're so petty over little things. You are so petty over these little things. I just don't get it.
What? Is that not? Okay, never mind.
It's not their bed.
But you're going to go sleep in that.
Petty. I got no words for you on that one. I'm just like, Jesus, you are just so petty. Can't wear makeup. Can't wear shoes.
I didn't say you can't wear makeup. In the house. I just said don't put on
you
a whole other
face.
Can't
put the shoes in the bed. You get all these different rules that you have. Goodness. Shoe with your mouth open and I'm leaving.
These are all bad things. Yes.
Goodness.
Second thing I noticed. Bartice has no black friends. I mean, we saw it at the bachelor party, and I was like, well, maybe there's just one friend that came along. But then his groomsmen showed up, no black friends. Now, all of his friends have a black friend. He's the only one without a black friend. There's something wrong here.
And probably doesn't have a black barber, because that haircut, it's like, dude, this is your wedding day. You're not going to, like, touch this up? Just pick it out. Straighten it. If you got to do the kid and play, do it right. You know, but I just don't get that. I'm sorry. I get a haircut every Saturday. Yeah. So I'm judgy on dudes' haircuts.
You're
but
so I'm like, petty. You're on TV. So petty.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you're on TV. You know, your sister, somebody should have came and said, give me the pic. Let me just fix this real quick. Shape it up.
You got the nerve to talk about how she looks and you coming out here looking like this.
Yeah. Now, what did you think about him getting all emotional with the little gift that Nancy gave him? Because I'm like, I'm trying to understand, like, why are you so emotional about this? That's, to me, that's like, oh, that's so sweet compared to these crocodile tears he was doing.
Oh, well, what we didn't know when he got the gift was what he sent her as a gift. We knew it wasn't on the same level. He sent her a shot, which she almost immediately spilled anyway. He gave her a 25-year-old gift. He gave her a shot. Like, let's do this. While she sent him something emotional on the show, here are some things from along the way. I listened to you. I paid attention to you. I'm even throwing in my gym membership so you can feel like I'm actually working on me so that you can feel more physically attracted to me. all the shit he put her through, and she still remembered all those things. And that's the difference between men and women, because there's no way I'd have remembered all that stuff.
I wouldn't have either, but I have a theory of why he's broke down crying.
Why?
Because I don't think he's going to say yes.
Because
I think, I was going to say, I think because he's realizing it's going to be a no for him.
Yeah.
And she does that, and it's just like, oh my goodness, how sweet. I'm going to hurt this poor girl.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm like, why did the producer have to go in and talk to him? Like, he just seemed overly emotional for that the producers had to go and check in on him.
You know what? I forgot the producer when they're like, what's going on? What's wrong? But then that's how they got everything out of him as to what it was, right? Like, as the producer asked him and just prodding him for the answers, and he said what every gift was. At least he knew what all of them were and why. And you're right. You know what? Because I fully expected her to say, I do not. But she didn't. She said, I do. Mm-hmm. And then they get to him, and you're right. Now, this woman, who he has tried his damnedest to make turn against him so that he wouldn't be the bad guy, has shown before they even walk down the aisle, she's all in. They get down the aisle, and she says she's all in, and he's going to say no. That's interesting.
I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, I can't wait to find out.
So, quick prediction on the others, because when we get to the next week's episodes, we'll have the answers as final episodes. It'll be recap number 4 of 4 as we'll get the final weddings and then, of course, the reunion. Colleen and Matt, what do you think? Yes, no, maybe so?
I think Colleen's going to say no.
You think Matt's going to say yes?
I think Matt's going to say yes. Mm-hmm. I think Colleen's going to say no. This is the closest Matt's been with anybody since the woman that hurt his heart. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to hold on to this as much as possible. So I think Matt would say yes, but I think Colleen's going to say no.
Yeah, I agree with you. Colleen's going to say no. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde are both going to say yes. Because to date Matt, it should be two personality Matt. Now that's who Cole should ask if he was bipolar. That's who he should have asked that question of. What about Zenob and Cole?
That's a tough one because I want to say that Zenob will say no. She's not going to be this sweet person that's going to nurture Cole and make him feel good about himself all the time. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for a mom. And that's not what Zenob will do for him.
Right.
I think Cole would still say, they don't get a chance to say. They should make him hold up a flashcard at the same time.
On the count of three, do you or do you not? 1, 2, 3.
Right. Yeah, because that way you could see. It'd be cool if they could do that. But I feel like Zenob is going to say no. I can't tell if Cole is going to say, if he goes first, is he going to say, I do? I don't know.
I almost feel like they're both going to say yes. They're both going to say I do. But by the reunion, they'll be, we out. because here's the thing. Cole has learned a lot from Zenob. She's even said she's seen growth in him, right? But he is a little too immature for her. They're not ready at this moment. His family is not going to be there for all this. That weighs. But she said it. I'm all the way in. I'm here. I'm here. If I wasn't, I wouldn't be here. And of course, she could just be saying that. But I don't know. He's played to her insecurities, and she seems to be, you know, past that now. I think she's going to say yes. I don't know. I think they both say yes. I don't know. Call me crazy.
Crazy.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
What about Alexa and Brennan?
I don't think they're going to get married because they've not had any drama.
Right.
It's been too good. And what I've learned about watching these bullshit reality shows, it's never perfect.
Right.
There's not one. And they've been the picture perfect couple. Everything has been great the whole time that I feel like a bomb is going to drop somehow. Mm-hmm. and they're not going to get married. I think it'll be either, I think it'd be him that would say no.
You think so? Because he's been so accommodating to her. Like, no matter what she says, when she's like, well, do you want anything in the prenup? Just that you love me. You know, it seems so artificial, and it has felt artificial to me from the very beginning. I know it's because they made them the first ones to say, to propose and be engaged, but it has felt artificial to me the entire time. And I almost feel like she's going to say no because she wears the pants. But I don't know. I don't see it happening either.
I think he's been saying all these things and doing all the right things, and then maybe he's going to realize, this is not me. I can't play this role forever.
Right. Because he's given up everything. He's given up his religion, everything. Because what the grandfather said was not that you need to be Jewish. He said, your children are going to be Jewish. And he was like, yeah. Which is, totally get that, right?
Right.
But he's been folding every step of the way.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's just too much that it's been too good that there has to be some drama with these two at some point.
You know what though? You might be right. He might be the one to say no. And I say this because she has been, I don't see her saying no now. Now I really think about it. Because what has she been saying? If this was a competition, we'd win. Because we're the best couple here. In her mind, she's trying to win a competition that's not even there. You might be right.
Well, I think in her mind, that she found somebody that likes her for her, likes all her curves, is willing to do anything that she wants him to. She's in charge, which is what she wants. She doesn't want some guy telling her what to do. So she's thinking that, he's got a catch. This is going to be perfect. Now I want to know if he says no, and if her squad is there, are they going to let her just run off by herself? Probably not.
The lip filler squad?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably not. They're going to have some words on their way out.
Yep. I think that's going to be the interesting. Because we've seen some. There's a stir somewhere. And I think it's in their wedding. I really believe it's theirs.
Yeah, there is. And when you watch the coming up, whatever.
The previews,
it seems there's going to be some blow up. But I think our predictions. I think our predictions are going to be right.
I'm right there with you, brother. And if not, we'll just pretend that they were anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, don't forget, we are back Tuesday with episode. This is going to be what, 109? Our regular episode?
I think 108.
Yeah. Is it 108? Oh, yeah, we'll have to look and see. Either way, it'll be the right number by the time we get it up. we're back Thursday with Married at First Sight Reunion Part 2. Which the dress did have mesh, right?
Yes, the dress did have mesh on it.
I just want to hear you say it. That's all.
Yeah.
And then, of course, next Monday, right back here with the Love is Blind Season 3 final recap of the final weddings and the reunion, recap number 4 of 4.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, the dress had mesh and she had tape on the boot. So,
I'm a married man. I do not look that closely, sir.
Okay. But when Raven had her dress, we were looking pretty close, weren't we?
Who?
Yeah, okay.
Who? I was just trying to partake in the culture.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit you found on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.